Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm joined as always my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, late night Villa Fillers, they always hit different. And this time, got a preview on our hands, mate, after an eventful night of football. I think we should actually speak about the football first because there is something that we had neglected to talk about over the past few weeks in regards to transfer of rumour mills, mate. Pedro Gonçalves, I completely butchered the pronunciation there. I appreciate, I do not speak Portuguese very well. Pedro Gonçalves, we'll call him. Scores an absolute worldie against Arsenal, mate, from the halfway line. Lobs Aaron Ramsdale. This is a player who has been linked with a move to Aston Villa. And I think it's fair to say we didn't cover it, mate, because he's not coming, especially after that.
No, absolutely not, mate. Yeah, it's an unbelievable goal. Unbelievable goal. One of the best I've seen in a long time. It's like one of those ones where I was watching the sort of, I always do this on European nights. I watch like the multicast where it goes through all the games. And it was really, I didn't recognize, it's not the same guys that do the normal Champions League night. I didn't recognize who it was, but they had the Leanne Sanderson was on the Arsenal game. And she wasn't talking at the time. And like across the studio, it's always funny because you can just hear him go crazy. And then she was like, oh my, and it pans across and you see this unreal goal. Yeah, you're absolutely right, mate. That's put him into a totally different sphere to what he was in previously. That's really put his name on the map. But I mean, one of the things we haven't really spoken about much is our ties to Portugal now, the obviously the partnership with Vitória and stuff like that. I've been doing a little bit of snooping around the club. I didn't realize that they were seemingly as big as they are. Like I was looking at their stadium and stuff. It's really impressive. So that's a dream summer holiday right there.
Absolutely.
So who knows, mate? Who knows? We'll be shopping in Portuguese circles, no doubt. But whether it's for Pedro Gonçalves remains to be seen.
Yeah, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. What a goal, though. Absolutely sublime.
Yes.
But we're gonna take the level of football down a notch because we've got Aston Villa versus Bournemouth coming up, and it would be rude for us not to preview that. Interesting stat I brought up here, mate. So Villa have scored in all 13 of their Premier League matches under Unai Emery. That's crazy. And before his arrival, we had failed to score in 6 of the 13 leading up to that. So that is a crazy turnaround. You know that we're always good for a goal under Unai Emery, which is refreshing to sort of go to Villa Park and sort of have an expectation of I'm going to be entertained somewhat. I think the sort of the loud minority of booers who sort of boo at the back passes would probably disagree with me there. But so I was having a conversation with my barber the other day, and he was a Liverpool fan. They all are, aren't they? Liverpool fan in Sheffield, it's typical. Got two brilliant clubs there, but it was like he said a passing comment, and I couldn't. I've not been able to stop thinking about it the whole time. He goes, you know, as a Villa fan, you go to games and you expect to lose, and I was like, that's just not true now. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel so confident under Unai Emery. And I had to put him in his place. I just go, listen, boss man, Unai Emery, he's the guy. He knows exactly what we need. So it's refreshing to kind of have that feeling. And whilst there is always going to be the sort of angst of the fact that we've lost our last 4 meetings against Bournemouth in the Premier League, we've only beat them once, which was our first ever meeting against them. And we've lost every other single game against them. There is that angst, but this is a new Villa. This is a new manager. It's a new era. It's the dawn of a new era, I think is probably more apt to say. And I'm feeling confident going into this one, mate.
Yeah. I think we might have gone to the same stores for our stats here, mate, because you've just reeled off 2 of the ones that I had. But
it's going to be a really short podcast.
Yes. I can add to that first one that you mentioned about the scoring streak. A really nice little nugget here. So that is the longest scoring streak by a club at the start of a new manager's tenure since Leicester scored in their first 17 under Claudio Ranieri in the season they won the title.
Mate, we're winning the league. It's happening. Arsenal
there you go.
Off.
So we have, we need 4 games to match that streak. Our next 4 games are Bournemouth, Chelsea, Leicester and Forest. So, I mean, you look at those games, you
Doable.
know, you can see that it's definitely doable. So that could be a nice piece of Premier League history there. But yeah, you're right, mate. We beat Bournemouth the first ever time we played in the Premier League. Again, all the way back in 2015. That was the same as West Ham, wasn't it? We hadn't beaten West Ham since 2015. Exactly the same. That season, we got relegated. We opened the campaign with a 1-0 win at Bournemouth. Rudi Gusted header. In that yellow away kit, it all started off so well that season, mate. And
Did.
how the tables turned. It's we have a really honestly, I was going through the stats of this Bournemouth game, and some of them are so interesting. So Bournemouth have scored exactly twice in each of their last four Premier League games with Villa, winning 2-1 at Villa Park in that run both times. And all four of our games, sorry, all four of our Premier League goals against Bournemouth have come in the second half of games, whilst the six of the eight that Bournemouth have scored against us have come before half time. So I don't really know what to make of this data. I mean, we obviously start quick, and it's one of the things that Unai has really managed to change with this Villa team. And these games really do, it seems, tend to be a game of two halves that we come out on the losing side of. But we are a team that I like. I'm always hesitant going into these games, mate, because it's the ones where you feel you go to Villa Park expecting a good performance. Those are the ones that come back to bite you on the arse, a la Leicester. And our record against newly promoted teams is never great. And that's, I have in the back of my mind that this is something that goes back a few years, and it does. We've won just two of our last 10 Premier League games against newly promoted sides. How disgusting is that? And we
Awful.
haven't beat in any of the newly promoted sides in the games we've played them so far this season, if I'm not mistaken. We're winless in our three such games in 22, 23, drawing one and losing two. That needs to change, doesn't it?
It's stinking, mate. And you've wiped out my other half of the stats. We've definitely Opta has done us dirty there. There wasn't a lot on Opta, I can't lie. But big up the work login, but also big up AVFC Stato because he's
Yes.
usually pretty clutch with this kind of stuff as well. I think it's interesting, mate, the scoring stats in the halves. I think it's interesting how that has been. And I think, you know, as we know and as we've seen with the data this year, Villa are going to score early, as you mentioned, mate. And I do feel a lot more confident in us, you know, scoring within the first 15 against Bournemouth and being able to really sort of grind it out. And listen, I don't think this is going to be, you know, this isn't going to be a bloodbath at Villa Park whatsoever. Bournemouth come into this side filled with confidence. They've beaten Liverpool. They're sort of half on the resurgence. You know, they look like one of the teams that could stay up if they manage to get a couple more wins on the board. I think that's fair to say. And Philip Billing is a player who just always seems to score against us as well, mate. So there is that, and he's obviously in a very strong vein of goal scoring form right now. This will be a really interesting yardstick to where we're at, I think, mate. This will be. I think, you know, I read some of your guys' comments. Absolutely love the discussion that we have in our comment section. Please keep them coming, and make sure you're commenting on this one, guys. I probably felt that maybe we were a bit harsh on the West Ham game after reading some of the comments. I think people were like pretty split on it, in terms of, like, you know, some people agreed with us, a few people disagreed with us. Someone pointed out, I think it was on the comment of one of the shorts when we were sort of talking about JJ. Somebody rightfully pointed out, I can't remember your name off the top of my head, mate, but I'm sure you'll be watching this as you commented on the short. If Watkins scores the chance that he has, where JJ slips him in, then it's a completely different discussion, which is a very valid point, and it's something that it completely escaped my mind when I was sort of talking about. I think the JJ point was more of a broader one, rather than sort of specifically tied to that 90 minutes. But you know, I think people were still pretty split on that West Ham game as well, mate, because, you know, there's some people going on Twitter, you're crazy if you think that's a good result. And then there's another half of Twitter going, yeah, but we'd have lost that game 6 months ago. And I think the truth probably lies somewhere in between, really, doesn't it? Like,
Yes,
and I think
yes.
that's probably where our frustration came from, because I think we acknowledged that's a game, given the record, the awful record against West Ham, that you know, the cards were heavily stacked against us. And they've just gone and done Larnaca 4-0. Obviously, they're massive, and Larnaca would obviously batter us if they played in the Premier League. So, but, you know, I think, you know, perspective is great. And I think, like, the way I see it, I think where we're at now, obviously, it's frustrating still being sat in 11th, but it's a point gained on last season rather than 2 points lost this season, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
Totally.
It's not that bad on reflection, and especially if we go and win this one.
I mean, look, like, I don't remember feeling that negative coming out of the game. I don't know whether my sentiments.
I don't think we were, but I think we were just bored, really, weren't we?
Yes. Well, that's what I think. I think it was your run of the mill, pretty scrappy, little bit dogged Premier League 1-1 draw. I think it was a fair result. I don't think we were particularly great. I think that those sort of things where it's like, if so-and-so had scored that chance, it would have been a different game. Like, I think in pretty much every draw, there is a case to be made to say that for both sides, not just for the Villa. And so, look, it's not... I really didn't think it's the end of the world. It's one where perhaps it would have been nice because it did feel like results kind of went against us, went for us, but we didn't capitalize it. So the whole weekend, it kind of just did feel like it went against us in a little bit of a way because we didn't capitalize on the opportunities that were there. You made a really good point on the podcast, mate. It just feels like win, lose, or draw, whatever we do, we can't move out of 11th because Chelsea are in 10th, who have sort of picked up their form a little bit recently. And then beneath us, there's like an 8-point drop off to Palace, who are slowly being sucked into the relegation zone. So it does feel like we're damned if we do and damned if we don't at the moment in terms of the results that we get. And this is where we sort of have to be wary, because I said after the West Ham game that result would have felt significantly worse for them. And we play a side who they are level on points with in the Premier League. So we go from one situation where a team is going to be doing everything they can to pick up points. You rightly said they've just come off the back of a 1-0 win against Liverpool. And I think that, you know, we were talking about our result being, you know, if this had happened, it would have been a different game. Liverpool had three times as many shots as Bournemouth, three times as many on target, 70% possession to their 30. And they missed a penalty from Mo Salah, which is like, you know, that penalty miss is so bad, it's almost unthinkable. I mean, that's the game where everything should have been different. And it's the classic curse of the early kickoff and everything like that. But this is where, you know, it does feel a little bit deja vu, doesn't it, mate? Going into a side who are down there in the relegation zone that we don't have a good record against, that realistically, given the form we should be beating, the only advantage this time is that we're at Villa Park.
Absolutely. And I think we just have to keep doing what we're doing, really. I know we lost the three games on the bounce, but before that we won the three games on the bounce, and we're now three unbeaten with the draw and the two wins. We're buoyant, and that's what's important, especially like Brighton and Brentford just keep winning games. Like, if they keep that up, which, you know, every week we're going, surely they can't, but they are, then that extra European spot just isn't going to be there. And that's not to say take your foot off the gas, take it easy, all this kind of stuff. It's just, I think it just sort of goes to show you just have to make sure you're still in and around. And by doing what we're doing, you know, because look at Brighton's form in the last five. They've won two, drawn two, lost one. Exact same for Brentford. You know, they're only one draw better than us. Both of them are. Obviously, that's form. And so in terms of points, we're like, what? We're only 6 points away from Brentford, who are sat in eighth.
Yeah.
Seven away from Brighton in seven. It's not... We still got to play Brentford, right? We've taken the 6 points off Brighton, haven't we? So,
yes.
All you can do is just keep winning your games. And as you say, mate, we're lucky. Bournemouth are sat in 18th at the moment. You get a convincing performance, a convincing win against that, then you can go to Stamford Bridge after the international break full of confidence. Or is it before the international break? When is Chelsea away?
I think it is after. I've got in my mind that's in April.
Yeah, I think it is.
1st of April.
You know, you go into that game and it's everything to play for, realistically. Chelsea are going to be the same as us. They're going to win a couple, they're going to lose a couple. That's how their season is going to end. And they're still fighting in the European front as well. Obviously managed to come back against Dortmund. You know, I look at our fixtures and I think they're quite kind, to be honest, mate. And there's no easy game in the Premier League. Cliche, I know. You're going to hate me for saying that, guys, but it's true. Oh, sorry, we've still got Brighton to play. Brighton's the final game, but we've taken 3 points off them, just to correct myself from 30 seconds ago. So after the international break, it's Chelsea away, Leicester away. 3 days later, that's on the Tuesday, rearranged because the Queen decided to pop her clogs. Forest at home, Newcastle at home, which is going to be tough. Brentford away, which is going to be tough. So, you know, from that run of five games, I'm looking at that and I'm genuinely thinking there is 9 points there.
Honestly, like, yes, we've done a really good job, mate. We've done a really good job. I honestly look at this run of games where we got out of that Arsenal game, went, right, these are the games that we've got to win. One against Everton, one against Palace. We've got a fair draw against West Ham. And if we now go and beat Bournemouth, that's pretty good. 10 points from 12 there. I'd say that's pretty par for the course. And then we go into, you know, a bit of a tougher run because Chelsea are upwardly mobile. Leicester, I mean, what do you even get from Leicester week to week? And yeah, it's crazy to think that we're getting in towards the running now, and it does feel like our season's only just getting started. And for me, the most realistic objective is just, it'd be great to finish in the top half. I don't want to sound too tin pot with that, but that's not something we've done since we got promoted to the Premier League. And just seeing that resurgence under Unai Emery and how we were getting sucked into a relegation battle under Gerrard, for him to cap this season off, a season of tremendous transformation, and land us in the top half, sniffing on, you know, on the coattails of the sides that got into the Conference League and stuff like that. I think that would be a great season, mate. That would be like a really nice way to round things off. And you look at the running, and I honestly look at enough games there where I can see wins. I can see, you know, on the road in those tough games, you know, draws. I mean, you know, that Newcastle game is a tough one, but an early kickoff, strange things happens in those. You know, and then you've got games like Spurs at home, which, you know, anything can happen there. Like, even the tough games, you think we could be getting something out of it. And to see Villa place around the mid-table, hopefully in the top half, would be great, I think.
It would, mate. And I've just pulled up Brighton and Brentford's fixtures, right? So of the 12 remaining games that Brentford have to play, they've got to play Newcastle, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, and they end the season at home to Manchester City. Some very tough games in there as well. And Brighton, they've got three games on everyone, right? So Brighton have got more games to play. They're in the FA Cup quarterfinals as well. Brighton have to go and play Tottenham. They have to play Chelsea. They have to play City. That's back to back to back. A week after they play against Brentford as well.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the season, their running is much kinder with only Arsenal and us to play on the final day. Being the sort of the standout fixtures where you would go, they could potentially get undone there. So you say, you just got to keep winning your games. You just got to make sure we're competing. And, you know, we're always a glass half full podcast. And we have reason to be. We have reason to be. We genuinely do. Mate, we've got to do score predictions before we go.
Yes.
I think I'm feeling a clean sheet is on the cards.
Nice.
Saying that, Philip Billing is absolutely going to score. So if I was a betting man, I'd probably put a couple of quid on that. I feel we're going to keep a clean sheet. And I know I say this a lot on the podcast. I feel like we're just due a big win. I feel like we're due a 3-0. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't happen very often though, does it? Like you see many teams get, like Brighton have had a few 4-0s recently. Brentford have had a couple. Give us some, please, Villa. Come on. It's probably going to be 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0, Villa.
I will go 2-1. 2-1 to
the
Villa.
I'll take that. A clean sheet would be nice, though.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think that at home as well. But a win's a win. Not going to turn my nose up at
certainly
that.
Certainly is, mate. Certainly is.
It is. guys, let us know your predictions in the comment section down below. If you didn't know, we're on TikTok and Instagram. TikTok is growing like a dream. So please go and check out Instagram. Like, why are you loving TikTok more than Instagram? It's at Villa Filler Pod on Instagram and at Heart of the Hole on TikTok. We've got so much in the works for you guys, some exciting things on the horizon. Fingers crossed, knocking on wood, counting on every single star. And yeah, guys, if you've checked out this preview, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, make sure you leave us a review and rate the podcast and do all that important stuff on there. Make sure you subscribed and following on there as well. On YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and up the Villa.